Let's pray again. Father, thank you for this time and for the Word of God that is out of the mouth of God. We thank you for preserving this book for us. Thank you for convincing our hearts that it's true and perfect and sufficient for our needs and for every good work. So we commit our hearts to you now and ask that your word and your name would be exalted above everything else. Use your word in our hearts and open our hearts to your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Recently I heard that we live in a day of knowledge, which we all know that, and that knowledge is increasing or doubling every 3 years. Whatever subject in the Christian life, there's a book on it. Whatever need, you can find a seminar or a book or an expert. There's books and seminars on how to raise children, how to deal with stress, how to be happy, how to be real happy, how to change your world in 12 weeks, how to move mountains, how to change your thinking, how to have happy marriages, how to know yourself, how to be happy by doing less, you know, for the workaholic, how to think big. I also enjoy reading the credentials of the authors. Listen to these. Founder and president, certain organization, travels widely, conducting marriage seminars and family seminars. Pastor, counselor, radio speaker, and skillful pen. Graduate of Johns Hopkins University, Harvard Business School, founder and president of certain such company. Holds individual and seminar counseling sessions for groups up to 5,000. Director in corporate planning at AT&T. Listen to this book, How to Be Successful. This book was given to a man just following his appointment to leadership of a nation of about 3 million people. The man was Joshua. A man who was probably fearful, probably felt a little overwhelmed with that responsibility. And God said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything that's in it. The result, you will be successful and prosperous." Who is the author? Listen to these credentials. He is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, his wisdom, his power, his holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God. Why didn't God say, "Joshua, I have this book for you. It's a very special book on leadership, written by Oswald Sanders. He said, "Joshua, if you want to know how to lead, if you want to know how to do your job, if you want to know how to influence people, Joshua, if you want to know how to walk with me, just keep this book on your mind, day and night, and do what I tell you." Recently, I had a friend who, a Christian worker who called me and just had the rug jerked out from under him. And I was a little discouraged and quite discouraged, bordering on being depressed. He shared the circumstances, and then I, after a period of time, I asked him, I asked him if he had any Bible studies on just the sovereignty of God. He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "I have," and he began to list the books that he had. And I could just see him turn around in his chair and go through his library. I said, no, Bible studies that you have done on the sovereignty of God, not books. He said, no. He said, I don't have. He said, that's one of my needs. He said, I prepare most of my messages from books and from commentaries. One man said, I would rather spend an hour with God than a lifetime with a man. And how we reverse that in this day and age, that we would travel miles to spend an hour with a man. But it's very difficult for us to get an hour with God in His book. This morning, I'd like to meditate with you through Psalms 19, which has become one of my favorite passages on the Bible. It was written by a man, David, who is known as a man after God's heart. Psalms 19. Several years ago, two or three only, I decided I wanted to choose a passage on the Word of God. And I had a number of favorite passages on the Bible, but I finally ended up in Psalms 19. And I decided to study it, do a word study. And I'd like to take you through my Bible study on this. And I did a word study in Psalms 19, verses about 7 through 14, but we'll be majoring on 7 through 11. I did a word study and then I memorized it and thought about that passage every day for a couple months. And I like to do that from time to time. I like to choose a passage about once a year that I, what I say, live in it. That I just think about it day and night for a couple months. And this has become a very favorite subject. There are really four things that we're going to look at in the book, in Psalms 19. The titles of the Word of God, the attributes of the Word of God, the effects or the results, and then my responsibilities. Titles, attributes, effects, and responsibilities. Let's read it. Psalms 19, 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. There are five different words that describe this book. But it's all referring to the Bible. The words are these: the law, the testimony, the precepts, the commandments, and the ordinances. They're all referring to the book, the Bible, the Word of God. But it's just looking at it from a different angle. The law of the Lord is a word that's used in the book of Esther 20 times. And it's used in the book of Daniel many times. And if you know the book of Esther and Daniel, it is in the time of the kings. And so the word law is used in these books because it's in the day of the kings. Or the law has to do with what the king wanted, or the king got what he desired. So the word law is referring to the king and his desires of the land. And so when the Bible here says the law of the Lord is perfect, it's really saying it's the law is what the king or God desires. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is a testimony is a witness. And a witness is a person who has firsthand information of the event. And God's word is of course written by a person who has firsthand information about you and your future and your past. And so the testimony of the Lord is sure because it's written by God, who is our perfect witness. The precepts of the Lord refers to, it's an appointed mandate from God. It's a term to designate responsibility that God places on me. Precepts of the Lord, appointed mandate from God. Commandments of the Lord is a word that, it's like the word used for a contract for a plot of land. It refers to the terms in the contract. All the details. And God said if Israel obeyed, he would bless her. If Israel obeyed the commandments of the Lord, he would bless her. It's interesting also to observe in the Old Testament how the Hebrews put a tassel on the corner of their garment so they would remember to obey. God said, write it on your forehead so you won't forget it. Put it on your hand so you see it and do it. God said in Ecclesiastes 12:13 that obedience is really the whole duty of man, doing what God has said. Write them on the doorpost of your house. The fathers were also supposed to teach their children and talk often of the commands. So the word command, it's like a contract for a plot of land. It refers to the terms in the contract. Do them. Ordinances, it's a legal term, or judgments, whatever your translation is, and it's a legal term. It includes the act, the place, the suit, the crime, the penalty. But when the Bible says ordinances or judgment, it's legal, it's final, it's from God. No arguments. It's written, it's settled. You do it, you believe it, you act on it, it'll work. I recently heard that if you were to flip a coin 10 times, do you know what the chances are of getting heads 10 times in a row? Well, according to this man, it's 1 in 1,000. And if you were to flip a coin 20 times and get 20 heads, that'd be 1 in 1,000,000. And if you flipped it 30, it'd be 1 in 1,000,000,000. If you flipped it 40 and got 40 heads, it'd be 1 in 1,000,000,000,000. You know, there are 300 prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, that all 300 came true in the New Testament. Do you know what the law of probability of flipping 300 coins? Well, I don't know either. But it's a lot of them. 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ that all came true. Now why? Well, it's because this book is written by God. It was given to man by God. And every word of God proves true. This book will equip us for every good work, won't it? That's why we've driven, whatever it has been, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 miles. Because this book is true. And it will work. The titles of the Word of God in Psalms 19 point to the inspiration of the Spirit, or of the Word of God, or it was God breathed. So just meditating on the titles tells us that this book is given by God. It's really fun, just that those five little words. The law, the testimony, the precepts, the commandments of God. And note, it's all of the Lord, of God, of the Lord, of God. The testimony of the Lord, the law of God, the precepts of. They're given by God. Well, the titles. The attributes. Infers that the Word of God is a standard of truth. It's true. It's something to build my life on. Okay, we'll run through these words. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, the word perfect has to do with being spotless, flawless, as the animals that they use for sacrifice, without blemish. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, or the word sure is faithful, dependable. Absolutely no doubt about this witness. This book is as valid as God is valid. And we know God is God. The precepts of the Lord are right. See, our responsibilities that's placed on us by God are right and upright because of the integrity of God, the flawlessness of God, the holiness of God. So what He says is right. The commandments of the Lord are pure, or it means it's absolutely free from any impurities or pollution. So we can aim at them. We can give ourselves to them. We can obey them. As a new Christian, I had a man challenge me, "Tom, you can be too fanatical about obeying this book." Well, it put my head in a tailspin for a few weeks until I got back into the book and to see, no, that is the heartbeat of the Bible. The ordinances of the Lord are true. The word ordinance has to do with it's legal, so it's final, it's firm, it's trustworthy, worthy. And there's a verse in the Psalms, and maybe some of you know where it is. The sum of thy word is truth. I forget where that is. Does anybody know? The sum, or every bit of it, is true. William Jennings Bryan said this about the Bible. If it were necessary to choose between the Bible all alone and all the other books without the Bible, I think it would be infinitely better to keep the Bible all by itself, build the world anew on it, and let all the rest go, all the rest of the books go, than to keep all the rest of the books and let the Bible go. This book is a standard of truth. And we see that just by these words, the attributes of the Word of God. Well, the Word of God also endures forever. It's eternal. And I like the illustration of, I believe it was Voltaire that said that within 100 years this book will be out of existence. And today in the very house he made that statement stands the French Bible Society. And they're in the business of distributing Bibles. Well, the book is true. So what? It's a great book. But so what? Well, that's where the effects come in. Or the results, or the ministry of the Word of God, or what will the Word of God do in my life? I love this section. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. And the word revive has to do with restoring, bringing life into me, spiritual life, new life. But the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Or it means it brings us to our senses about God. It reminds us of God's absolute standards. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Do you ever feel that you need to be restored, revived? Well, I do. All of us do. What will restore us? I don't know of anything that will restore us other than the Bible and time with God, so the Spirit of God can take that Bible and plant it in my life and restore my soul. The Bible corrects us. It trains us. It rebukes us. It teaches us. It restores us. It equips us. I'm amazed at all the substitutes today that we use. Substitutes. We use books. We use TVs. We have seminars. Everything but really getting time with God in this book. A little challenge. To spend more time in this book with God than you do in any other book that's written by man. Don't just stop with the titles of the book and dwell on how great the book is, but what will the book do in my life? And of course, last of all, what must I do about this book? But it will revive me. It will restore me. It will bring me back to God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, most of us qualify there. But it gives us wisdom, right thinking, right speaking, and right acting. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Remember, God's testimonies are from the witness who has firsthand information. So it gives us wisdom. The word making wise the simple, that refers to being open, humble, needy, or I like being easily persuaded by God. Sort of the same connotation of the little children who come to God. They're easily persuaded. The Bible will make wise the simple or make wise the person who's easily persuaded. As I hear the Word of God, as I study the Word of God, and when God shows me something, I say, I will do it. I will believe it. I will act upon it. I will turn from that sin. The Bible will make wise that kind of person, the simple. It's the opposite of being proud, arrogant, or self-sufficient. And I appreciated the word from Jack this morning. Being self-sufficient. Being self-sufficient is... it's a symptom of not being in the book. Because if I get in the book and get with God, there's no way I can see that I'm self-sufficient. These sayings are of the wise are like goads and like nails. Firmly fixed are the collected sayings which are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and of much study is weariness of the flesh. Ecclesiastes 12, 11, and 12. Now, by the way, I do read other books. But make sure that this is number one. Not number two, but number one. Make sure that people around you know that this is number one. Especially those of us that have children. That they would know us as people of the book and not people of books. But people of the book. People in the book. You all are familiar with the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. If I had three things to major on the rest of my life, personally and in my ministry, it would be the Word and prayer and relationships. Now, there's a lot more to life, but those would be the three that I would major on. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. And I really am challenged whenever I review that or read it. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done. You need wisdom? You go to the book. You need to be restored? You go to the book. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing of the heart, or the precepts give joy. You see, the word precept has to do with appointed mandate from God. And this appointed mandate from God is right. And it seems like God has made it in such a way that being right or morally right brings joy to the heart. There are two things that are joy killers. Not knowing what to do, and not doing what I know. But those are joy killers. But knowing what God wants satisfies a moral want down in my soul. And then doing what I know will bring joy. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. It's really, it's just exciting to see a young person or a young grower begin to get into this book. Just recently, I received a letter from a man that I've just helped some, but he's a restored man. He had come to Christ back 8-10 years ago and backslid from the Lord, and the Lord has used me to restore him, but mainly it's the book. I just really helped him study and memorize. And I got a letter from him here a while back. And he said something like this. He said, as I write this, my heart is flooded with joy. And when I think of you, tears come to my eyes. You see, this book brings joy to people's hearts as they study it and obey it. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes, or gives insight, and again, wisdom here. just recently, after spending a year with a man, a man that had been a Christian for a number of years, came to me and shared a profound truth that he had just discovered. The truth was this, that he has finally seen that the key to growth is obedience rather than knowledge. Now, it took a year. Some of you might do it faster than that, but he's been around me a year and he finally caught that. Up until now, he thought if he knew enough, if he learned enough, he would become godly and fruitful and joyful. But he's finally seen that be doers of the word and not hearers only. The commandments of the Lord enlighten us, or gives us wisdom, or gives us insight, brings growth. Well, this book is complete to equip us for every good work. I began to read the book when I was about 21. And it was through reading the Bible that I came to know Jesus Christ. And I wasn't around people like you. I wasn't around a church that taught the Bible. It was just me and my roommate who laughed at me for reading the Bible. But it was during those years of reading the Bible and studying it and finding out what God wanted, that God convinced me that this book would equip us for every good work. And I remember the day that I ran across that verse in 2 Timothy 3:17. I remember where I was sitting. I was by my little table in a little dark, dingy apartment in Chicago, Illinois. And I found that verse, that this book would equip us for every good work. And I remember just laying my head down on my table and saying, God, I believe it. Now, I was a student at that time, and I was working two part-time jobs, and I decided that I would quit one and just borrow the money to study the book. Now, I wouldn't recommend you do that. But God blessed it. But the Word will equip us for every good work. Well, our responsibilities, the titles, the effects, our responsibilities. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned in keeping them. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Well, my first point on this is just simply desire the Word of God intensely. And by the way, I don't desire the Word of God intensely all the time. There are many, many days that I can hardly get my nose into this book. There are many times I don't want to. So what do we do? Well, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. So if you don't desire it intensely, what do? You just this. Because there's only one way to get a hunger for this book. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving or restoring the soul. You do it anyway. I was so tired the other day. We'd taken this trip through Kansas and saw all of our old friends, and we had a little meeting in Kansas City and Topeka, Manhattan, up early, bed late. You know what that does to you. And I wanted to get time with God. So I went out on this hill in Manhattan, Kansas, And I'd read the Bible, and I couldn't even hear myself read. I was so tired. But I decided I would just talk to God anyway and read the book. We've got to do it. Desire it intensely. 1 Peter 2:2 and 3, desire the sincere milk of the Word. And that word desire means intense yearning. It's just like a baby will call for its milk every 3 to 4 hours because it's hungry. Isaiah 66:2 says, all these things my hand hath made, and thus it came to be. I will look favorably upon that man who is humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. And the word tremble is like a leaf in a windstorm. Are we like that all the time? No. That's why we have to get in the book. So God will restore or revive our soul. Don't wait till you feel like it. Don't wait until you like it. Don't only do it when you like it, because it won't happen very often. As a young Christian, God put an unusual hunger in my heart for the book. But it has never been like that since. I can recall being so excited about the book that I ran home from class just to study it. Literally ran. But it has never been like that since. Except when I get in there. And then I can't get out. My biggest battle is to get in. But when I get in, God takes His Spirit and the sword of the Spirit and just energizes me. So if you don't desire it, welcome to the club. It just means you've got to get time with God in the book. A.T. Pearson was a man who loved the Bible. He was a great Hebrew and Greek scholar. He studied the Bible from 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock in the morning for 50 years. When asked on his deathbed if he had any last words to leave to his hearers, he said, yes. Tell the people that I'm just beginning to scratch the surface. From 4 until 8 for 50 years. Just scratching the surface. He was a man who loved the book. So desire it. Second, keep them. In keeping them, there is great reward. You see, whether I obey it or disobey it will not alter whether the word is true or untrue or sufficient or not sufficient to meet my needs. Obeying will not affect the book. But it does affect whether or not I experience the rewards. In keeping them, there is great reward. Well, the KISS principle. Keep it simple. And I don't want to call you stupid, but I like the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. What does God want to impart to you this week in just the area of the Word and prayer? Just those simple basics to build my life on, and my home and my job or whatever. What does He want to impart to you? What do I need? What do I need in the area of helping people? Do I need skill just to study or to help people? Well, then this book will equip us for every good work. This book will give us wisdom. Now, by the way, here's one of the most enjoyable books. I do read books. It's the most enjoyable book that I've ever found on helping me study the Bible. Now, don't accuse me of being narrow, but this book is called The Layman's Guide to Interpreting the Bible by Walt Hendrickson. And it's an excellent book to help us on just how to study the Bible, beginning with verse analysis, taking us on through how to do a chapter and how to do a book, but a very practical book that we do have down in the bookstore. But if you need skill, this might help us on just studying the book. Four S's. Do I need skill? Maybe I just need to simplify my life so I can make my life, keep my life in the book. Maybe I'm majoring on the minors instead of majoring on the majors. The majors of word and prayer and relationships. Do I need to simplify so this can be priority? Do I need to sift out or spend time to reevaluate my priorities this week and sift out some things so this is number one? Recently, Billy Graham was asked, Billy, if you had your life to live over, what would you do differently? And he said, I would spend more time with my family and more time studying the Bible and less time preaching. Sift out. Do it now. Last, schedule it. Just schedule it and then do it. J.B. Phillips, after he had translated the New Testament, was asked, how did you find time in your busy schedule to translate the New Testament? And his answer was this, just from 4 to 5 every morning, just an hour a day. One of the reasons that I have stayed around the Navigators for 18 years is because of the consistent stand of the organization on the Bible. It's been consistent for the past 40 or 50 years. Wherever you go in the world, in 34 or 40 countries, whatever we have today, our staff are consistent in the Word of God, in the authority, the sufficiency, in obeying it. And that's one of the reasons I've stayed with this outfit for 18 years. You see, our work began with Dawson Trotman, and you'll find that in your little, what do you call that little book that Glenn Erie handed out. But who are the Navigators? There were two ladies that found Dawson Trotman, who was an unruly high school boy, and they decided they would pray that he would memorize Scripture. And Dawson began to memorize Scripture, and most of you may know the story. Dawson became a Christian. What did Dawson do after that? He got everybody he could to memorize Scripture. He first of all started with a little junior high boys club of about 6 that grew to about 400. He kept it simple, but he used the Bible. And one of the reasons that I believe that God has blessed the Navigators is that we have done something to get the Word of God in the hearts and minds of people, but we've also done it in a way that's simple enough that anybody can pass it on, even the junior high boys. So 40 to 50 years later, God has multiplied His work and His Word. And Acts 6:7 is a verse that comes to my mind when I think of the Navigators and the Word of God. And the Word of God increased and multiplied greatly. And the Word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. So our work began with Dawson Trotman memorizing Scripture. And today we have 2,000 people on our staff, approximately 3 to 4,000 disciple makers that are laboring alongside of us, and somewhere around 1,000 to 15,000 new disciple makers every year. Why? Because God multiplies His Word. And I think God chose a few men who decided to believe this book and to use this book and to get everybody in the book. And then he just multiplied them as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore. Well, in closing, will you keep the Word of God priority in your life? Will you decide, not only today, but this whole week and the rest of your life, to make this your number one book? And then to learn how to study it, learn how to memorize it, and learn how to get others to do it? There's great rewards. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that does revive us, gives us joy, it teaches us, it instructs us, it rebukes us, it corrects us, it equips us for every good work. Bind our minds from the devil and from the word and the flesh that would like to convince us of anything else other than God and what you've said. So I pray that you would continue to teach us, to learn to know you through what you have already spoken. Thank you for these people and their hearts to know you and to know what you've said. We give you thanks now for the time in Jesus' name. Amen.